All right, I don't know about you, but that was some pretty good worship. Amen. For those of you watching online now, you missed out on some pretty good stuff here, so you need to get up and get out of bed and get over here to church. So, amen. Good times. All right, we're going to continue our series on the inward witness. This is part two. Last week we started this off. The reason why I felt led of God to share this series was the fact that, I believe we're living in perilous times, and there's a lot of people have a lot of fear, but also the idea is that there's a lot of false information out there. Have you ever ran across some false information before? And that false information will cause us to make wrong decisions. And so that's why I think it's good that we're led by the Spirit of God. And that's what we're talking about, is the inner witness. We got that inner witness of the Holy Ghost as a Christian, and we need to learn how to develop our sensitivity so that we can hear from God and be able to understand everything that the Spirit of God is trying to do. So last week we looked at how we need guidance, acceptance, as well as that inner witness in our life. And like I said, if we're going to survive in the last days, we need to get to know the witness of the Spirit of God. And it does take a little bit of time to develop that sensitivity, and we're going to miss it. You know, you'll miss it every now and then. And that's just the way it is, because we're, don't take this wrong, but we're carnal creatures, aren't we? You know, and sometimes our emotions and our soul gets involved in our decision-making process, and it can cause us to make a mistake. So don't beat yourself up if you miss it. You know, just get up, dust yourself off, and keep on heading after God. But I want us to know that God devised a plan for us to get us so that we can walk in freedom, and that's to get Jesus on the inside. And what helps me is I like to know the how and the why of something. You know, I like to know how things work. Now, I don't know everything. It amazes me, like with a computer, you hit a little button and it just looks like something simple happened, but behind the scenes, there's all kinds of processes going on just to get that one little function there. And see, what we have to understand is with the Spirit of God, you know, there's a process, and we may not understand everything that is happening behind the scenes, but we need to trust that God has our back, and He's the one who's going to bring us to where we need to be. So I want to start today. We're going to look at several scriptures. First one I want to look at today is found in Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs is the book of wisdom. Proverbs 20, verse 27. Proverbs 20, verse 27, and it says, "The spirit of man is a lamp of the Lord, searching all the innermost parts of his being." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the witness of your Spirit today. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're the one that's leading us, guiding us into all truth, because you are the Spirit of truth. Lord, I thank you. I bind up the devil from trying to steal the word out of our hearts or minds in any way, shape, or form. As I yield to the gift you put inside me, Lord, I want to use it for your glory. And we give you praise as the gifts of the Spirit again are in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the Bible talks first about here the spirit of man. So we're going to look at the inner man here right now. You know, we're illuminated by God through our spirit. We're going to interweave a little bit about what we talked about last week and try to tie some of these thoughts together. So we are a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body. Well, our spirit is the part of us that is in connection with God, especially after we're born again. And that's where God illuminates us. And really, another way of looking at this is our human spirit is a lamp, or it's a flashlight to the Lord. You know, it's a flashlight. And God will shine light into our life through our spirit. And as we understand how this starts to work, because, you know, sometimes we have good ideas and then there's God ideas, right? When I see a God idea, you know, I picture, you know, that little old light bulb that comes across your head, you know, sometimes when you get a God idea. Well, that comes through our spirit, man, and then it influences our soul. And that's what we need to understand if we're going to get set free from some of the things that's holding us back. Because I think a lot of people get really discouraged in their walk with God because they don't understand why it works one time, and then the next time they fall short and they fail. And some have even maybe given up or got discouraged because of those things. See, we're using borrowed light from God. See, none of us can be a light unto ourselves. I mean, I know there's New Age movement and all that and how we can become gods, but that's far from the real truth. You know, God is the true light, and then we illuminate that light through our life. And, you know, to me, our light got unplugged when Adam sinned, and Jesus came to plug it back in. You know, we need to see that, how that connection takes place. Because when God shows up in our situation, light starts to come. And it starts to reveal to us the things. Because the scripture said it's going to search the innermost parts of our being, those little places that we have hidden. Does any of you have hidden spots in your life or in your heart? I think we all do. But see, God wants to bring that light. See, when I picture this a little bit, you know, I believe I picture God as the sun, the S-U-N, okay? And the sun gives us light. And we're like the moon. You know, the moon doesn't have light of itself. The moon can only reflect the light from the sun, okay? To me, my goal, I want to be a full moon. I want to get all the light. But what happens when there's a partial moon? What causes that? The world gets in the way. The earth gets in the way. And it blocks some of that light coming through. And so only the moon is partially revealed. And see, we need to get to the place in our life to keep the world out of the way so that we can reflect God's glory to the best of the ability that we have and what He wants to do. See, God wants to search. And now this is dangerous territory for some, because some of us like to have secrets, don't we? And we well probably have some secrets every now and then. But see, God wants to come in and illuminate our whole life. And see, we only see what we want other people to see, right? I mean, I can only see the part of you that you want to reveal to me. And then, you know, we got the other parts of us that hasn't been revealed yet. And if we're really wanting to grow as a Christian, now this is scary territory for some. Because we got to open ourselves up and we got to be vulnerable. And that's important that we do, because God wants to shed that flashlight. See, I like those flashlights, you know, those LEDs and stuff, you know, that really show up some things. Because what happens is that God, when He illuminates our spirit, and if we're willing to be a willing candidate, God's looking for willing candidates, well, then He starts to show some light in different areas of our life, those hidden little crevices. And then those things get exposed, and then we can start to deal with them. Because in my what I see is that the crippling chaos in our life is what holds us back from spiritual growth. And see, that's the ultimate goal, is to grow spiritually. Now, just throwing this out there, what I experienced in my life, when you're a baby Christian, it seems like you grow real fast. You know what I mean? Because it's all new. I mean, you're just boom, 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 just growing. But as you get older, sometimes it turns into incremental growth, doesn't it? You know, just the little things, because maybe you've dealt with some of the other stuff, but now there's just some fine-tuning that God wants to do in your life. But see, what happens is if the crippling chaos that's in our life will get to some spot in our growth, and then we stop. And we just kind of plateau and we hit a wall there. And that's because there's some things in our soul that is causing us to misunderstand God's character and God's word, because it won't let us do that. So we need to get to the place where we're open to the things of God. Now, we all have that junk room, right? Because you have a junk room at home. If you don't, God bless you. That's a great thing not to have to deal with that. But we have a junk room. And it's, you know, my old office here at the church, that first door. You know, God bless everybody that drops stuff off here. But, you know, some of that stuff, you know, we just have to deal with. You know, so we throw it in there because I don't want to deal with it right now. You know what I'm saying? You know, I just don't want to deal with it right now. And in that room is full of stuff. And, you know, like I said, you know, also we have stuff back here. Now, we got rid of a lot of stuff back there a while back. I mean, that was a great thing for me because I don't like chaos. I mean, you wouldn't know it by my office, you know, on my desk. I know where everything's at there. It's chaos there, but it's controlled chaos. I don't like out of control chaos. And see, that's what them rooms get like, because we put stuff in areas, we put stuff in there and we don't want to deal with it. And I think it's like that in our walk with God. We have areas that we hide stuff in our heart because I don't want to deal with that right now. I don't want to get rid of that right now. I want to hold on to that. So I'll keep it in my secret place. And then, you know, maybe later on when I get some time. But see, it's the inward witness and the light of God working in tandem that's going to restore order to our life. So we need to allow those two things to start working so that we'll start to deal with some of that chaos. I mean, I don't know about you, but this little transparency about me, I'll just let some chaos be around the house. Then all of a sudden, something will go off inside of me and I just throw everything away. I just toss it. I don't want to deal with it anymore. I've looked at it. You know, I really haven't looked at it. I mean, looked at it. I've seen it in piles as it starts to grow, and I go to recycle, and it's just, I'm done with it. And see, that's, I think we need to get to that point sometimes with God, because, you know, we have all that junk and the things that's going on in our life, because, you know, we need to let Jesus start to work on the inside to deal with that. And if we understand how it works, I believe we're going to see the importance of why we need to do it. See, we plateau sometimes, you know, we go in spurts, and, you know, but if we understood that, well, if I do this, then I'm going to get this. And see, that's like that with the Word of God. And most people say, I mean, I like to, you know, when you're teaching kids, you know, how does God help you in your life? Read your Bible. Pray. Those are the two answers, you know. I mean, if it was every time, same answers all the time. We know that, right? We know that, but we don't do that. You know what I mean? We don't allow the process, because it's a process. You know, it takes a little time. You know, we're born again instantly. But it's the work that we do in the sense of staying into the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to change us and to be able to break us and to be able to mold us into what we need to be. Because we all need to get into the Word of God, but yet, better yet, we need the Word of God to get into us. You know, it's good to read the Bible, but you got to let the Bible get inside of you. And when we do that, because we're going to start to see that. Now, the human heart, you know, has several chambers, right? It has four chambers, if I'm correct. I don't know, maybe they found another one. You never know. It's kind of like them planets, you know. Pluto's a planet one day, and next day he's not. And I don't know if they've done that with the heart. But for the most part, I've found out there's four chambers, okay? So there's different areas of your heart, and, you know, there's place to do that. But I believe there's different areas of our soul, like I was saying. Those little areas of our soul that we try to hide things. And when it comes to God, you know, we shouldn't have any privacy. Now, if some of you came to my house, and some of you have, odds are most of you never made it past the kitchen or living room, right? That's just where I entertain people. You know, you don't get to go to the hidden chambers, you know what I'm saying? You know, I don't want to get weird, but, you know, you don't get to go to my bedroom, you know, stuff like that. You know, that's for me and my wife, and, you know, plus that's where some of my stuff is I got piled, you know, that I got to deal with. But, you know, but for the most part, we just entertain, right, in our common areas. Well, it's like that with God sometimes. You know, we just want to entertain God, and we just let him in the living room and the kitchen maybe and hang out a little bit. We don't let him go to those other areas of our life. You know, so we try to keep some privacy. But to me, there should be no privacy when it comes to God. You know, we need to invite him into every area of our life and allow him to come in. Now, we've been hearing a lot about how sunlight's the best disinfectant. You hear that on the news, talking about all the corruption going on in Washington and also with different things. But to me, S-O-N light is the best disinfectant. We need to bring our soul and our life into the place where we let that light of God shine, and it disinfects and it brings out that stuff in our life that we need to deal with. And God wants us to be spiritual aware. See, sometimes we're oblivious, you know, oblivious to the things going around us. You know, to me as an electrician, I've done electrical work, and, you know, there's a difference between lighting levels. Right now we're lit up a little bit. But have you ever went into a dark room, like when electricity goes off, or maybe you didn't pay the bill, you know, God forbid, you know, with a candle? Have you ever tried to look for something with a candle? I mean, that's not good. I'm older now and I need more light to my eyes. But you go in there with a candle, you just can only see shapes, you know, unless you get really close. Well, let's say you toss that candle, I mean, put it out first. Go get one of them LED flashlights, you know, them big, them ones that, boom, this got lumen. Well, that's great. That's better yet than a candle. And you shine that flashlight, but it only lights up what you point at, doesn't it? So only what you let the flashlight look at is what you're willing to deal with. I believe in flipping on all the lights. Just turn every light on. Say, God, here I am. This is what I got. This is what I want to give to you. And just let God have his way. Because those little secrets, you know, kind of get into our life and they hold us back. So I'm going to count to three, and I want everybody to yell out what their hidden secret is they want God to take, okay? No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that. We didn't do it last night either, you know. I got the two, and then everybody looked away, so we're not going to do that. But, you know, I want you to do that. You know, in the book of Psalms, it says, search me, O God. Know my heart. You know, those are great things. They sound kind of scary, and they are a little bit. But the greatest thing that we're going to experience is when we get to the place that we live in that freedom, that we don't have to look over our shoulder. We don't have to hear those nagging thoughts anymore. And that's where God wants us to be. Let's go a little deeper with this, and we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 now. Now, when I first got saved, this was one of those key scriptures. There was Hebrews 4:12, Romans 12:2, and Galatians 2:20. I mean, these were things that I cut my teeth on. Well, this one here kind of gives us a little more punch and a little revelation of what God wants us to see. It says, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. See, that reveals a lot of truth on how important the Word of God is, okay? The next point I want to look at is the living sword of the Lord. Now, I played with swords a little bit. Usually I played with sticks. You know, I was dangerous with a stick. I could imagine if I grew up having a real sword, you know, what that would, my sisters probably wouldn't be here today. But anyway, I'd have been in jail somewhere. No, I'd have probably got out. They'd probably threw me in as a kid, you know, in prison. Then they let me out when I'm 18. I don't know how that works. But anyway, the living sword of the Lord. So there's different kinds of swords. We're going to look at two primary swords right now, just briefly to explain them, that they used back in the day when the Apostle Paul was writing this book through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You had your old broadsword. Many of you know what that was. Pretty good-sized sword. Took a pretty good-sized man to wield that thing. And, you know, they would swing that. It was only sharp on one side. And they would swing that. But the thing about it, it wouldn't really pierce the armor. It'd make a severe dent. Believe me, I'm sure it would. I've never tried this at home. But, you know, but it wouldn't get to the place where it could really kill you with a blow. Might knock you down, then they would get you, but for the most part, it just dented your armor, you know. But then the Romans kind of devised a different sword to come up with it. I think the Romans did it, and it was nicknamed the gladiator sword, and that was the kind of sword that they used for piercing. See, the armor, the reason why you wear armor is to protect your vital organs. You're okay if you get a flesh wound, but if you get a pierce that goes in maybe several inches, the odds are you're going to get to something. You're going to get to something that you're going to die from. And see, that's what this sword was about. And it's a two-edged sword. It was sharp on both sides, and then it had a sharp point. In the Greek, that word, I can't remember, I think it's maturia or something like that, but it means slaughter knife. And so the gladiators and the Romans would use this when they went into battle, and they would get in close combat, and they would stick this sword in and give it a twist. And it would pierce. It would break through the enemy's armor, get to the vital organ, and deal with it. That's what the Word of God wants to do in our hearts. The Word of God pierces our armor, those barriers and things that we set up against God to keep Him out of our life so they won't deal with those hidden things. And then it pierces those things, and then it starts to reveal some things, the thoughts and intentions of our heart. Those are two different things, the thoughts and intentions of our heart. See, picture how truth cuts deep, and I believe that God's truth even cuts deeper. It wants to cut deep into our life. And what it does here is the division of soul and spirit. Okay, remember, man is a spirit, has a soul, live in a body. There are several places in Scripture explains this. And it takes the Word of God from what we see in Scripture to differentiate between the soul and the spirit because they're so intertwined. Your spirit and soul is so intertwined with each other. They really kind of, I don't want to say function as one, but they flow as one. You can't separate the two. And when they do that, you know, your spirit part now, if you're born again, wants to bring illumination, right? This is lit up. Well, then here's the darkness of your soul, those things. They're still entwined together. But as you allow the illumination of God's Spirit to start to bring light, then you can start to deal with those things. How many has good intentions every now and then? We all do, don't we? You know, when I wake up, I make a decision, well, Lord, I'm going to pray an hour every day, and I'm going to do all this and do that. And, you know, the odds are I don't mean to fail. I don't wake up and say, wow, I think I'm going to sin against God today, or I'm going to, you know, not pray and things like that. But what happens, though, my intentions take me only so far, but then I'm not willing to go through the process. And see, the process is what changes us and brings us to where we need to be. And so we need to get to the place where that reveals that. And see, the Word of God deals with our intentions. You know, remember Jesus got really kind of hardcore with some things. He said, if you don't, it's not only if you commit adultery. He said, even if you think about it, it's a sin. So, the intentions. God can see our intentions. He knows what we're up to. And that's why he wants to bring the light. Now, the process of restoration is kind of cumbersome. You know, I picture an old dresser. We was cleaning out the place, my mom's place, this weekend a little bit, and we ran across this old dresser. And it was my sister's dresser starting out. Who knows, had it before them. And then it became Kaylee's dresser a little bit, and that was out in this shed. Well, we got it out, and we had mixed opinions about keeping it, but anyway, I guess they wanted to save it. They think it's an antique or something. Well, to me, I ought to throw it in the fire. But anyway, it's covered with paint. I don't know how many coats of paint on this thing. So to restore that thing, you're going to have to strip off all that paint. And then after you strip it off, you're going to have to sand on it a little bit and fix all the little broken things. And then you got to start applying some varnish and things like that and try to restore it back to the way it was in its original state. And see, that's what's happening in our soul. We got to strip off all that paint. All those things that are kind of in our life, and then we have to reapply some things. And that takes work. It's hard work. And that's why a lot of people don't want to do it. They don't want to allow themselves to change. They just want to get saved and walk away. Now, God bless psychologists. They do the best they can. You know, a psychologist will try to come in and figure out your issues and stuff, but it's only the Word of God that can make a distinction between the soul and the spirit to be able to heal that. See, God made us, and he's the only one that can really fix us. You know, a psychologist, what they can do, and I'm not dissing them in any way, shape, or form, but, you know, they treat the symptoms, but they can't really totally get to the cause all the time. They try to do the best they can. But see, it's only if we deal with the cause can we get to the cure. And the cure is what we want. And I just want to tell us today, Jesus is the cure. If we get ourselves right with God and allow God to come into our life and to start to deal with those things, we're going to get set free. And see, that's them thoughts and intentions, them physical actions and inward intentions. See, if I intended to pray an hour of a day, my physical action should be to pray an hour a day, right? But sometimes those two worlds don't line up. I don't mean for them not to. And see, what happens then is that some people, now to me, I can repent and go on. That's my personality. I don't really, if I mess up or say something, I mean, yeah, it may nag on me a little bit. But then I usually just repent, give it to God, fresh start, glory to Jesus. Not everybody's like that. Some people, they hold on to that. They hold on to those things. And it keeps nagging on them. And it keeps holding them back. And then they start to focus on that. And then it gets them in trouble. Because, you know, them things don't add up. But I want to say today, Jesus Christ will forgive you. He knows that we're weak and fail. And that process that we're dealing with the soul and the spirit. That leads me to my kind of last scripture we're going to show today. And I have another one in the middle that we're going to talk about. And this is found in the book of Romans. And I alluded to this last week, but I wanted to share it personally this week. It's Romans 7, verse 15 to 17. And it's talking about the Apostle Paul here. Now, the Apostle Paul, in my opinion, was a pretty spiritual guy. He had his shortcomings, made some mistakes along the way. But when, you know, he got saved and, you know, he had that one little blow up with Barnabas, but who hasn't got mad since they got saved? You know what I'm saying? We're not going to throw any stones here today. But he was a fireball. I mean, he would get stoned. They'd throw rocks at him. And he would get beaten with rods. He'd just keep going. You know, he'd just keep moving, heading towards God. Now, let's read a little bit about some of the things he dealt with. He says in Romans 7, verse 15 to 17, it says, "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing that what I'd like to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good." Okay, so that's talking about how the law came to reveal, and Paul was sharing that. Now, this verse 17, you need to highlight this in your Bible. You need to write this down. You really need to think about it. It says, "So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but the sin which dwells in me." Okay, Paul learned how to make a distinction between the new life and the old life. Okay, the new life, who has been born again, is the real him. And he's dealing with the old nature. Remember last week we looked at it in Romans 8 that, you know, it was only by the Spirit can we put to death the old nature, okay? So it can't be through a lot of masochism and all those things, but it's only by, you know, the Holy Spirit, and we know also the Word of God. So Paul struggled with this, but yet he started to get that revelation that I'm no longer the one doing it. So where does sin dwell, okay? It's in that old nature, or the unrenewed part of our soul. It's those hidden places in our soul, the places that we don't want to let God have yet, and that causes us to have an outbreak or an eruption every now and then, doesn't it? You know, you can be cruising along real good. You know, you might be teaching Sunday school and just, you know, on the prayer chain, just praying for people, and you're just doing it. You know, you feel real good. And then all of a sudden you run into a situation and some trigger goes off in your life and you just lose it, man. I mean, you just go, ah, crazy. What was that? That's that old life. That's that old area of our life. And it's because we haven't shed the light of God in that. And we haven't allowed the truth that cuts deep to go in and with that two-edged sword make a scalpel cut and to let that, cut that out of our life. And see, it's just part of the process. See, Paul knew that the real him was that spirit or new creation. Now, this isn't a cop-out that, you know, if you sin, that you say, well, that wasn't me, that was the old me. No, you're not going to get off that easy. I mean, that's playing games with God. No, we need to understand that we need to start to deal with that stuff when it comes up, when God brings it to the top. You know, I've never, you know, when you have silver and you start to heat it up and you want pure silver, the dross or the icky stuff comes to the top and the silversmith will wipe that away. Why? Just to make it look better? No, there's a real reason. Because if you leave that icky stuff in the silver, the dross and stuff, it's a weak spot, and it can break. So you got to get rid of the impurities. And see, that's the process of what we need to do. Now, I remember, you know, it's hard because those things keep coming from time to time. I just picture, I've never worked in a factory, but, you know, a conveyor belt coming along. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you have to go to the bathroom. It doesn't matter if you got a cramp, you know, in your hand or something. That stuff keeps coming, doesn't it? Just keeps coming down the line. I picture the old Lucy. Remember Lucy and Ethel at that one thing? She was in a chocolate factory or something. I don't remember what happened, but the chocolate kept coming down the conveyor belt. And, you know, finally she tried to keep eating it, put in her pockets. She got behind and she couldn't deal with all the stuff coming at her because sometimes that's how the world is. The world just keeps coming at us. And we need to learn how to get rid of that. See, God wants us to walk in victory, and he knew that it's only through the Holy Spirit living inside of us. I just want to share a little scripture. We're not going to turn to it, but you can write it down, look at it later. It's talking about Mary, the mother of Jesus. Luke 1, 46 and 47 said, "And Mary said, 'My soul exalts in the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior.'" Okay, here we see two words I'm going to throw us out here today. Is the Greek word pneuma and the Greek word psuche. Those are two words in the Greek. Pneuma is talking about spirit. Psuche is talking about the soul, okay? Here Mary said, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. So she rejoiced in God. See, our spirit is closer to God and more sensitive connection to God. And see, that is what influenced the soul. Then it says that her soul then would exalt God. See, we got to drag our soul, sometimes kicking and screaming, along with us in this process. We need to let our spirit man rule and dominate. And, you know, we need to be spirit-led. And as we do that, it's going to drag us along. It's going to keep this process going so that we can start to deal with all those things. So that's why we need to allow the pneuma side of us to stay connected to God in a way, you know, and there's a lot of different ways to worship, do different things, to read the Word, through prayer, and just be in a knowledge, have it in our mind on the that we are aware of it, that I am doing through this process of change. And when I see something icky come out, that's not me no more. That's the old person. And I crucify that in the name of Jesus. I put it to death. Amen. I don't want that to rule and reign in my life. And see, I believe, I always like this. I mean, I used to party back in the day, but I believe our spirit needs to be under the influence. Have you ever been under the influence? I remember sometimes, you know, being drunk in the spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit, you know, through worship or through preaching sometimes, the Holy Spirit would just come upon me. And I would be kind of inebriated a little bit. I mean, it hasn't happened too many times, but see, I knew what that feeling was like because of my old life, you know. And a lot of people, you know, like to get under the influence, but I'm telling us we need to get under the influence of the Holy Ghost and just really let go and just let God and let, watch all things fall into place. And see, that happens when we start to grow spiritually. As I'm winding this down here a little bit, you know, maturity in the kingdom is not an age but a place. I want us to understand that. Maturity in the kingdom is not an age but a place. Just because you've been going to church 20 or 30 years doesn't mean you're a mature Christian. You know, a mature Christian is the one that has went through the process and allowed that change to happen. Because maturity comes by surrendering yourself to the will of God and allowing yourself to be changed. We want have to be. Change is hard for some people. They don't like it. I mean, for the most part, it is kind of a bummer sometimes. But we know that, you know, with God, when we see it, because it's worth it. It's just worth it to let God come into our life and change us. And that happens today as we're looking at the idea of the Holy Spirit. See, the inward witness will confirm that we're on the right track. And we need that in our life. See, don't focus on where you've been, but focus on where the Lord is leading you. Where is God taking you today? Where do you feel He's leading you? What do you want Him to do? Are you wanting to really walk with Him? See, God says in the Word that He wants to take us from glory to glory. Now, I know there's going to be some bad days, but please bear with me. Don't let a bad day become a bad week, and a bad week become a bad month, and a bad month become a bad year. Through God, we can turn these things around. Amen. Freedom is only one repentance away. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.